Him be found dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ's son lay him on Christ's stand, all this sinking sand, all other ground. It's sinking sand. On Christ the Son, they rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. Amen. I think the principle we can get from that song is, and the let the verse the verses that was read is that we do have a solid place to stand in Jesus Christ, although every mankind that God said his heart is only evil continually. We can be comforted in knowing that we do have a God who we can anchor our soul on. And so let's just thank God that we know whose we are and we know who's in control of all that is. We'd like to thank the brothers for doing, reading, and praying and all the things that they've done to make worship what God intended for it to be this morning. Those of you who are visiting with us, God bless you. And we pray that something would be said to all of us that will help us to know whose we are and what our what God's mandates are for our lives. The scripture that was read into our hearing this morning, I want to give you some of my observations of some of the things that you have heard read into your hearing this morning. One of the observations I want us to know is and see is that that God has had three covenants with man. He has three arcs. Well, before that, before he had man to build something so that he could have communal fellowship with him was God created everything. He made the earth. He created all that is. And then it seemed to me that God, from the inception, he made this garden. He created this garden and he put man in it and he gave man his responsibility. And man only had one law, it seemed, when God put him in the place that he intended for him to be. That one law was that he could not partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He says, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to be fruitful. I want you to multiply and I want you to replenish the earth. So man's responsibility to God was not to do anything, but to be fruitful and multiply. And he said, now I'm going to give you one law. That one law is, I don't want you to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so when we look at what God intended for man, we found that man, of course, disobeyed that one law that God had given him. And I want you to follow with me through these mandates that God has given us because of what man has done, not because of what God has done. And so he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to build an ark for yourself. If we notice, he didn't say, I want you to build an ark for me. He said, I want you to build an ark for thee, for you. And he said, here's how I want this ark to be. I want you to make this ark of gopher wood, and that, and we would call that cypress wood this today. And cypress wood was a very durable wood, and it kept it was very insect resistant, and it was very durable. It was kind of like our Christmas tree. That's the kind of wood that this cypress wood was. So you see, God was thinking in the beginning. So he said, I want you to, because man have become so corrupt, so evil, and every thought and imagination of his heart is only evil continually. So can we see how God seemed to be letting us know that man's heart, because if you know, although Noah found favor in God's sight, you see, man, Noah still messed up, didn't he? He got drunk and he caused a lot of problems. But anyway, and so God said, listen, here's what I want you to do, Noah, because you found favor in my sight, because you found grace in my sight, I want you to build you a boat, and I'm going to protect you in spite of yourself. So he said, I want you to make you an ark, and I want you to make it of gopher wood. He said, I want it, here's how long I want it to be. I want it to be 300 cubits, and so that we can identify with it. You see a football field. It's about three. This 300 cubits is about 3.5 football fields long, and that's 300 cubits. And then the breadth of it, or the width of it, I want you to make it 50 cubits, and that's about the length. A car used to be 20 feet back when I was repairing cars. A car used to be 20 feet long, and so that would be about 3.5 car lengths long, wide. So I want it 50 cubits wide, and then I want you to build it 30 cubits high, and that's about 44 feet. And so that we can identify, that's about a three-story building. So we can see 3.5 football fields long. We can see that that it's about 3.5 car lengths wide, and we can see that it's about three stories high. I'm not mentioning the below story, the basement. And so he's having Noah to build this big boat, this big box. And I would imagine if it had been me, Brother Lawrence, I would say, Lord, it's just me and my family. Why so huge? But if you look at it, he said, I want you to build a floor for Shem, a floor for Ham, and a floor for Japheth. And you stay down there with the ant noise, he said. And then I want you to have a basement in it. So I want you to get a vision of what God is having Noah to do. He said, I want you to make sure that you have enough room for everything that I'm going to have you to put in. I want you to put a representative of all the living creatures on the earth. So now he's getting Noah prepared that he's going to preserve. He says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 21, he said, I want you to have food enough for you and food enough for all the animals. Now, God was very meticulous. He was very exact. He said, the patterns that I'm giving you. He said, now I want you to have two of every animal, but of every clean animal, I want you to have seven. So now he said, I want you to have a, now there, that this these are going to be the sacrifices. I want you to have those that you're going to offer as a sacrifice. I want you to have seven of them, because if you only have two of them, you see, we can't replenish, we can't do what I plan to do. And this ark, he said, I want you to keep them alive until they get to Mount Ararat. He says, and so on the 7th day of July, rather on July the 17th, it said that the ark in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 4, on the 17th, what we would call the 17th day of July, said the ark came to rest upon Mount of Ararat. And so he says, now here's what your responsibility is, Noah. Here's what your responsibilities are. He said, I want you to have enough food to keep them alive. He said, not only do I want you to have enough food to keep all the animals alive, but I want you to have enough food to keep yourself alive also, and your family. What's the lesson? What do you think God could possibly be teaching us through all of this? I've said now, it's in the pages of inspiration. It's definitely designed for us to learn something from it, because he did say the things that written aforetime was written for our learning. So we're going to have to learn some things from what God intended for us to see through Noah. What is it that he wanted us to learn? I believe that he wanted us to learn that in that ark, you're going to have some bears in that ark. And those bears are going to have to be kept alive. He said, you're going to have some chickens in that ark. Those chickens are going to have to be kept alive, but the food that you get put in there for the bears cannot be the same food you put in there for the chickens. And you're going to have some skunks in there. And the food you put in there for the chickens and the food you put in there for the bears, he said it has to be different than the food you put in there for the chickens. He said, and there's going to be some lions in there. And you're going to have to put something in there for those lions, because the lions are not going to eat what the chickens eat. He said, because your responsibility, Noah, and your family, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives, your responsibility is to get them to Mount of Ararat alive, safe, without any hurt, harm, or danger coming to them. And so we find that in the first ark, God had Noah to build that ark. And he had Noah to make sure he had things in that first ark to keep everybody alive until they got to Mount of Ararat. And then, of course, as soon as Noah got to Mount of Ararat, he offered the sacrifice that he was supposed to, but then he made a vineyard and he drank from the vineyard and he got drunk. And lo and behold, this caused his son Ham to see his nakedness, and then God cursed Ham's descendants, who was Canaan. And lo and behold, because of the curse and because of man's heart was only evil continually, God said, I'm not never going to destroy this world by water anymore. And he put a ball in the sky, because you see, God doesn't have a memory, because he doesn't need one, because God is omnipresent. He is still looking at the flood right now. He's still looking at Noah being born right now. He's looking at everything in his presence right now. He's omnipresent. And so he said, I want you to put a ball in the sky, so that when I see that bow, it'll remind me that no more water is going to flood the earth, because man's heart is only evil continually. And so he says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to punish you, though, because I have to discipline you. I heard him talking about going to the pig pen this morning in the Bible class. He said, you're going to have to learn some things. Because man's heart, his every thought and imagination of his heart is only evil continually. And one of the prophets said that man's thoughts and heart is only evil continually. Who can know it? And then he answered, only God can know it. But God do know our heart. He do know our minds. So that's the first thought. That's the first ark that God had man to make. He had already made the first place for the first ark, which was the earth. He'd already made that. God made that ark. And he put man into it so that he could live and be pleasing to God by what he did. And so now God has allowed man to replenish the earth. They live 800, 900 years back then, so they replenished the earth. Lo and behold, they became as man would, disobedient to God. And God said, I'm going to have you punished for 400 years I'm going to allow you to go in Egyptian bondage for 400 years because you're disobedient. So lo and behold, God had him to go into Egyptian bondage for 400 years. And then he brought them out. And when he brought them out, he told Moses, he said, "Moses, I want you to build me a tabernacle. I want you to build me a tabernacle to put my ark within. Because when you build it the way I tell you I'm going to build it," he says, "I will commune with you over the mercy seat, over the covering for the ark of the covenant. So I want you to put that ark in the inner part of this tabernacle. And this is a temporary place that God is going to dwell with, the temporary place that he's going to commune with the people." So this is the second man, the second ark, the second time that God said, "I want you to build something, and I want you to build it so that I can commune with you." And so now we have the first one with that rested upon Mount of Ararat. And now we have the other one, which is a temporary tabernacle. And in that tabernacle, of course, you know there was a holy place, and then there was a holy of holy places, and all the tribes of all the descendants of Jacob camped around it. And he said, "But I want only the high priest to go in to the holy of holies, and I want him to offer a sacrifice for himself, and then I want him to offer one for the rest of the tribes." But he had Noah to build his, and then he had Moses to build one for him so that God could commune with him. And he told him, said, "Now I want you to make it out of, you know, when they left Egypt, they gave him all that gold and silver and all those things." That's why you see, when we come into, let me sidetrack here. I just want to show why it is when we come into the house of the Lord, we put on our best. You look at the Old Testament and see how God's people had to be exact. The temple, the tabernacle was made of the best fabrics, made of the gold and silver, made of the most expensive things, and made of things that man had gotten from the Egyptians. And so my admonition to us, and he had given them kings and judges. When people came in before the king, come in before King David, they didn't just come in there anyway. You see, first of all, you had to be invited in. And then when you went in, you couldn't walk in there any way you wanted to. You walk in before the judge down here now. That's why we have anybody ever been in the court here? You walk in there just like you want to and see what happens. Now you walk in there with your cap on, with your telephone ringing and that kind of thing. They had a judge here. They called him the cell phone judge because he put everybody in jail because somebody's phone rang and they didn't tell him who it was. And he had them all taken up. But anyway, when you go before the judge, you don't go before the judge just anyway. Now, if you don't believe we're in the presence of Jesus Christ this morning, come any way you want to. But if you believe we're in the presence of the greatest King of Kings, we're in the presence of Almighty God, we're going to do the best we can with what we have. And we're going to try to be on time, because if you're late, they'll throw your case out. Amen. I mean, I've been the judge, I've been before the judge. I've never been in jail. Well, I was one time. I bought an old raggedy boat, and I didn't know there was a policeman on the water. We was out there, and I saw this little light going, and it says me, Ed, and Bubba, and all of them was out there. We out there in my their little boat, just and I saw that light going like that, and I didn't stop, cause I said, "Ain't no police out here." That's somebody. So they stopped and gave me a ticket for my letters not contrasting to my boat. And they gave me a ticket. The ticket was only like $30, but back then $30 was a lot of money. So I went before the judge, and I went two times and I had it postponed. And the third time I went before him, and And a friend of mine said, "Oh, just tell him you need probation to pay the $30." I went before the judge and I said, "Your Honor, I don't have the fine right now." I said, "I'd like probation to pay it." He said, "Oh, you don't have it? What I care? Came to jail." I was sitting back there in the jail waiting, and they were getting ready to send me to Wendy. And my sister happened to find me because she didn't know I was down. They said, "I just want to show you how you got to come before the judge properly." But anyway, my sister found me just before. I thought they was turning me loose or something because they called my name up there and they were getting ready to send me to witness. She happened to come before they sent me. But anyway, I wanted to say that to say God gives us these things so that we can know how to address Him. Give us fathers so that we know how to respect our earthly father, then we will respect our heavenly father. You see, so he has given us these things, but I just wanted to see. So, and this is all because every thought and imagination of our heart is only evil continually. And so he says, "I'm not going to destroy it. I'm not going to do that anymore." So now he's already had the first ark. And which was with Noah. And now he's having Moses to build the tabernacle, which is temporary, which is and inside the holy place, there's a holy of holies. He had him to build a little box about the size of this communion tray table. It was about that size. And they said, "I want you to build that box and I want you to put a top on it. And that top is going to be called a mercy seat because that's where I'm going to show I'm going to have mercy on my people." So you sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice on there first for yourself and then for the rest of the tribes. He said it because I'm going to commune with you over the mercy seat. But you built that, Moses. You built that, Noah. Oh. But every time he had man to build something so that he could worship with him, man messed up again. And you know where I'm going now? He said, "I'm not going to let man build anything for me to commune with him anymore." In Matthew chapter 16, he said, "Now this time, I'm going to build my ark." He says, "And if you want to come into my ark, you're not going to be able to do anything to come into my ark. You're going to have to obey what I teach you to obey to come into my ark." He said, "Because my ark is going to be called my church. It is upon this rock. I'm not going to let Moses build it. I'm not going to let Noah build it. I'm not going to let Brother Lawrence build it. I'm not going to let the so-called reverends build it. I'm not going to let the so-called Pope build it, because the one who builds this ark is the King of Kings. He's the only potentate. We only have one King of Kings, and we only have one potentate." And so he said, "I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build my ark." And he says, "If you want to come into my ark, you're going to have to," 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21. He said, "You're going to have to recognize that everybody that went into the ark with Noah, if they went in that ark, they were saved. But they had to go in there the way I told them to go in there. He couldn't take but seven of the clean animals. He couldn't take but two of every animal. If he had taken three, he would have been in disobedience to God's word. And so therefore, they wouldn't have been allowed in. But here's what you have to do to get into my ark. You can't work your way into it. You can't pray your way into it. Oh, pray till something happens. Oh, you gotta listen. Did you get that? Yeah, take Brother Kaniz to tell you this, that there was a certain religious order that said you had to receive the Holy Ghost before you could, and they'd have you up there on, "Did you get it yet?" And he said, we'd be sitting there, and they said, "Did you get it yet?" And so he got time. After a while, he just acted out like he'd got it. Whatever it is, it that was getting. But he has acted out like, but Jesus says, you can't tarry your way into this. You can't pray your way into this ark. He said, you're going to have to be just like those people went into that ark with Noah in 1 Peter chapter 3. He said, just like eight souls were saved in the days of Noah. He said, if you want to be saved, you're going to have to be baptized into this one. The only way to get into this one You can't transfer your membership from some other bark. You can't transfer your membership from some other boat. Only way to get into this one, he said, is to be baptized in. Just like those eight souls were saved in the days of Noah, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21. Just like those eight souls were saved in the days of Noah, baptism doth now also save us. Well, how do we do that? I'm glad you, I know you all don't know what I'm, let me talk to Brother Lauren. You know what I'm talking about. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, he said, we are baptized into Jesus Christ because the church is the body of Christ. He said, so how are you going to get in this ark? You got to be baptized into this ark. And well, do you mean I have to do something? He said, no. He said, you just be baptized. You don't get up in the morning and say, I'm a, Brother Lord said, well, I think I'll go get baptized. No, you submit to baptism. That's why I say, be baptized. It didn't say, well, I think I'll do like they did during the days of Noah. I'm just going to go to Noah and tell him I want to come on the board also. I'd just like to place my membership from over here to over here. And so they'll let me come in. No, we have to be baptized into this ark. And then we put on Jesus. He said, not only you're being baptized into it, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, he said, but you're putting on Jesus Christ. And if we put on Jesus Christ, now it's nothing we've done. He said, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that faith that you have is not of yourself. That faith that you have is a gift of God because it comes from the word of God. So what's he teaching us today? Oh, God have an ark. But it's called his body. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18 said that he has the preeminence in everything to the church, which is his body. And so if the church is his body and he is the head of it, do not he have the right to tell me how to get in it? Oh, I know we can vote on you and get you in some organizations. Oh, I know we can have you tarry for the Holy Ghost or holy some kind of ghost to get in some article and somebody vote on you. You can't vote on anybody to get into the Lord's church. He said, you got to be baptized. Why are you baptized? Because we have to stop breathing. If we don't stop breathing, he can't add us to his ark, which is his body, which is his church. So can you see now, he allowed Moses to build one. He allowed Noah to build one. But he said, I'm going to build this one. I don't want you, I don't want you elders and everybody talking about, well, we're going to vote on you to see if we're going to let you in our church. No, this is the Lord's church. This is God's house. This is his tabernacle, and he's going to be with us forever. This is not a temporary situation. Oh, we're going to mess up, Brother Denson. We might tell a lie every now and then and tell me to shut up. Okay. Uh-oh, I hit snooze. I didn't intend to do that. I intended to hit stop. Listen, we might can do a lot of stuff. God allows us to do anything we want to do. But he said, I have given you peace. But the peace is in the church. He said, so endeavor to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. That's teaching me that unity, that peace is a slave to unity. So if we keep the unity, how do we know have the unity? Because the world will see how we love one another. He said, for by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Mm-hmm. I know they don't know what I'm talking about, but I know Brother Lawrence know what I'm talking about, see, because he read this. And he read that John says, by this shall all men, 13, 34, and 35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. How you have loved one for another. So if we don't love one another, we do not belong to the Lord. Start backbiting and talking about one another and acting silly like you think this is my house. I can do what I, that's what I used to do in my house. You come to my house, you had to do what I tell you to do in my house. Else you had to leave.
You come in my house and want to smoke a cigarette, you gotta go. Because I don't smoke in my I used to smoke, but I don't smoke in my house with my kids. So you gotta, this is the Lord's house. He said, we need to know how to, Paul told Timothy to teach people so they know how to conduct themselves in the house of God. We got some people probably who isn't here because they don't believe that the people that God have here that's serving this congregation as leaders are ordained of God. I heard that. It didn't go in this ear and out the other. When somebody done, if you're in the Lord's house and you're somehow, you, how you think Trump is president? You think he did it on his own? God said, I put kings in and I take kings out. So what we have to do now is say, now God, it's been enough. Lord, help us here. Whatever the situation we're going through, God is in control of it. He told Nebuchadnezzar, was it Nebuchadnezzar? He said, I'm gonna take your kingdom away, and you're gonna have to go out and you're gonna have to eat grass like an ox for 7 years. And then after you eat grass like an ox for 7 years, you're not gonna die. He said, but I'm gonna take you and put you back on the throne, and I'm gonna give you your senses back. Some of us are still out there eating grass like an ox. We need our senses back. We have to ask God to give us our senses back because we're in his kingdom. This is not a temporary situation. This is a permanent situation. This is not a tabernacle. This is a temple. I know Solomon built a permanent temple, but that was not a permanent place for God's residing. That was still just upgrading the tabernacle to a temple. But this is God's temple. This is his permanent temple. He says, and I have this treasure that I'm giving you in earthen vessel. Now this is his temple because God dwells in us. I wasn't even talking to y'all because y'all know what I'm talking. Brother Lawrence know what I'm talking about. I was just talking to Brother Lawrence. And so if you already know this, you can say amen. If you don't know this, just say, Lord, help me. Because there's a lot of folk can't care. The devil can't grasp this kind of stuff. You see, the devil think there's many. Oh, there's many churches. There's over 300. How come I got to be a part of that one? Because that's the only one that Jesus built. Oh, there was all kind of people in it. There was the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes, the Zealots. They were everybody in the Lord's church back then. But see, some of them was not there to go to heaven. Some of them was there just to get rich. And so Paul told Timothy, he said, here's what's going to happen. He said, these kind creep into your church building and lead silly women who are heavy laden, lead them astray. So he said, I'm going to put in there, I'm going to give you some leaders. I'm going to give you some apostles, and I'm going to give you some elders, and I'm going to give you some deacons, and I'm going to give you some teachers. He says, so that you can keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. I've given it to you, but you got to keep it. And what I see our responsibility is, what I see it as, and sometimes we can't always do it, but what I see our responsibility is to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. That's what a leader in the Lord's church does. Keep the unity. Keep the unity that God has given us because he has indwelled us with his Holy Spirit. That's what he promised. You want to get in? In Acts 22, 16, he said, why tarry there? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sin. Why are you hanging out? Why are you dragging your feet? Well, I've been in this church I'm in for 30 years and they've been doing it. Well, I'm sorry if it's not the Lord's church. You're going to have to transfer your membership. The only way you can transfer it is go through the water of grave and baptism. We don't have the authority to accept anybody because it belongs to the Lord. He established everything. It before sin entered the world, oh, he just came talk to him in the cool of the garden. Adam, where are you? Adam said, uh-oh. You don't have to say, uh-oh, here. You just know we are God's children, and I'm over time. God bless you. Let me share something with you. This is God's invitation. You're going to make a decision. Your decision's already been made. You've made your decision. I've decided to stay in the condition that I'm in. I've decided to stay where I am. I decided not to do anything about my condition because you can't do anything. Our soul is anchored in the Word of God. And if it's not anchored in the Word of God, it's going to move every time you get a new preacher. Every time you get a new friend, it's going to move. God bless you, whatever your decision is. If you just need prayers, if you need to be baptized, God don't have no grandchildren. I figured that out a long time ago. And you know, although the parents are members of the Lord Church, the children have to become also by the same token, by the same method that the parents become members. So if you're here and you would like to be added to the Lord's church, baptism is the only way in. Just like those eight souls were saved in the days of Noah, baptism does now also save us. If you just need prayers, God bless you. We're here to pray. We're here to pray for you. We're here to pray with you. We're here to do anything that'll help you get to know more about Jesus. While we stand and sing the song's been chosen for encouragement, what's the name of that song?
39.
Hymn number 39.
This I have made with God.
Yes, sir.